Patients with obesity, diabetes, and heart disease often find they need to adopt an entirely new lifestyle to improve their health, including changing their diet. However, Dr. Josephine Elrod of Grandview Medical Center says physicians receive little nutrition education in medical school and even less during residency. Grandview Medical Center and the University of Dayton are partnering to offer a culinary medicine program that teaches doctors healthy diet and cooking skills they can pass on to their patients. Dr. Elrod joins us to discuss the program, along with University of Dayton Director of the Didactic Program in Dietetics, Jennifer Dalton. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Good afternoon, Dr. Elrod. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And Jennifer, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you.
So tell us about the program and how this works. Who's involved in this, Jennifer?
Sure. So Dr. Elrod had contacted us about partnering together to bring residents, students to the University of Dayton food lab to connect with dietetic students in order to learn about how to create food that was both healthy and appealing so that we can have conversations with our patients at multiple levels to reinforce these therapeutic recommendations to improve health outcomes.
Dr. Elrod, this reminds me of the quote from Hippocrates, father of Western medicine, that talked about let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food. Is that the whole basis of this?
That absolutely is, yes.
Yeah. 2,500 years ago, he came up with that idea. So I wonder why doctors aren't getting more training in this.
Yeah, in medical school, the curriculum is so jam-packed with other things, and we've put more of a focus on using medication to treat illness instead of really learning about nutrition. Most of the medical schools have less than 25 hours of nutrition training, and the Case Western did a study that showed that in Ohio, the residencies only offer 3 hours. So we really do need to start educating future physicians about the importance of using food as medicine.
Jennifer, are there other programs like this in Ohio or elsewhere in the country, or is this one pretty new and pretty unique?
Well, across the country, there are programs that are adopting the culinary medicine program. With Ohio, there are dietitians that are leading the charge to bring together physicians with dietitians to learn these culinary skills and to have these conversations with patients as well.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Elrod, how important is diet? How crucial is it in treating diseases? How effective can it actually be?
It can be very effective. We are in a crisis of overweight and obesity. Almost 70% of us struggle with that, and that leads to all sorts of diseases from heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, but also cancer, infertility, all sorts of things. Losing weight, eating a healthier diet improves all of those and can help patients get off medication or prevent them from even starting it.
So it's possible that a good diet could replace medicine?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But of course, if you're thinking about reducing your medication or getting off it, you should do that in conjunction with your doctor.
Make sure to speak with your doctor,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. How many doctors have gone through the program so far, Jennifer?
Well, let me defer that question and answer to Dr. Elrod because she knows the exact number. We have approximately, though, about 14 students who come through the program each month.
Correct. We're doing it's a set of things that we're doing. First, we're having the residents, about 45 residents, the primary care, which includes family practice, internal medicine, and OBGYN. They read a monthly article, and they also attend a monthly hour lecture that I give. And then we go over and to the kitchen with Jennifer Dalton and work on kitchen skills there. So the 45 of them will participate in two kitchens per semester, and then the lectures and articles.
So what are the kitchens like, Jennifer?
So our kitchen resembles the kitchen that you would find in a typical American home. So we have it's one large room that has four cooking stations available to students. And you'll find the cabinets, the ovens, the same equipment that you would find in a traditional American kitchen. And it's situated so that 4 to 5 students can work together in what we call the food pod. And there they are able to create these modifications of a standard typical American diet, such as spaghetti, which we're making tonight. And the students will make various modifications, including specific fruits and vegetables to that recipe. So in the case of spaghetti tonight, it's the legumes, it's the vegetables to increase fiber, to increase soluble fiber that can help teach and show the residents how to increase these foods that have cardiovascular protective qualities and factors so that they can have these conversations with their patients then as well. Have you tried legumes? Have you tried increasing vegetables in your pasta dishes?
Give me an example of what are some of the nutrients that you would need for a heart healthy diet and some of the foods that would supply those nutrients?
We recommend strongly following the Mediterranean mm-hmm. diet, and that's full of fruits and vegetables and legumes, whole grains, which we know are going to help with heart disease, diabetes prevention and treatment, all sorts of things.
Are there certain cooking techniques that are healthier than other cooking techniques, say baking versus boiling or
mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm going to use tonight's class as an example. So tonight we're going to be talking about the Mediterranean diet and its beneficial components to preventing cardiovascular disease and for the use in type 2 diabetes. And we talk about the use of olive oil in place of like saturated fat. So using the monounsaturated fats like olive oil, using the healthier nuts for substitution. So when we go into this classroom setting, our physicians and our students are working together on a patient case study, and they're evaluating that patient's diet. And then based on this patient typically consuming spaghetti, they're recommending that let's add fruits and vegetables into this traditional meat sauce spaghetti so we can reduce the saturated fat that's brought in from the animal product, from the red meat that makes up the majority of this sauce. And so we show how you can add the fruits and vegetables, which adds fiber and reduces the amount of saturated fat, which can contribute to heart disease.
So students, they get a case study and you go through the case mm-hmm. study with them step by step. And mm-hmm. So you were talking about the Mediterranean diet being the primary thing. What about other types of diets? DASH diet, for example, is that something that you teach? Or
we actually do talk about the DASH diet with this module for cardiovascular disease. But future modules that we'll be covering include diets for celiac disease, the vegetarian diets, how to create meals that have high quality protein with the vegetarian diet. We're also going to be discussing anti-inflammatory diets as well.
Are the meals that you suggest, are they quick and easy to prepare? Are they things that people will actually cook, or anybody of any experience level can cook these things?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we absolutely are. What we're teaching the residents is how to take any meal and make it healthier. So we understand that someone's not going to go from eating meat and potatoes to eating a vegetarian diet. What we want to teach them is ways to communicate with their patients and help them understand that just adding some healthier things, maybe cutting back on the meat a little bit, cutting back on some of the unhealthy fats, and adding the positive foods like the fruits and the vegetables will make a big difference in their diet.
How do doctors react to this? How are they taking to this whole thing?
We've had a very positive response. Already we're seeing the residents focus more on nutrition in the clinic that they run, making food recommendations to their patients, handing out brochures. They're practicing becoming more comfortable speaking with patients, bringing the topic up about dietary change and weight loss.
Now, how do you fight the fad foods, the things that people see out maybe online or on TV that they really aren't that healthy for them?
Well, a lot of fad diets are based on pseudoscience, and we really need to educate our patients about that. At the same time, a lot of them do have some positive benefits to it, and so if we can guide our patients to following those positive parts of the diet and staying away from the fad parts like patches or injections or pills, then they're still going to have a benefit.
So how do doctors get involved in this? Are they referred into the program, or do they just find you and say, this is something I want to learn? And
so far, we start the Grandview Hospital Foundation Board is funding the program. And so they sent me to New Orleans, which is where we're basing our program from. Tulane University mm-hmm. started this culinary medicine program. And so we brought it back to start with the primary care residents at Grandview initially, and our hope is to eventually expand the program to allow attending physicians in the community come in and get more familiar with the dietitians and learn from them and them learn from us. So we're hoping to expand the program in the future.
Are the residents surprised when they find out how much of an impact that diet can have on a person's health, even to the point of helping them stay off medication?
I think so. Just listening to the physicians speak with the dietetic students as well, I think they're surprised at how much of an influence they can have in regards to small changes that a patient can make in their diet that can influence health outcomes. Whether it's just recommending that instead of eating on a large plate, eat on a smaller plate. Instead of, you know, maybe divide that ground beef in half and toss in some chopped vegetables to that sauce or that saute so that you increase that fiber and you feel full. That's one of the things that I've noticed in these courses with the residents. Some come in with quite a bit of food experience. Others come in with a very low level of comfort with the meal prep. And many of those who have the low comfort level find out that, wow, this really isn't that difficult. And I find that most exciting because that physician can relate that experience with the patient. That's going to be more relatable to the patient in the sense that, oh, well, I tried this and I had never cooked before and it really didn't take much time. It was the same amount of time as it was to open the box and to boil the pasta. While the pasta's boiling, I can chop the vegetables and quickly saute them.
You know, Dr. Elrod, one of the frustrations I've had is when, you know, I've been put on a diet by my doctor. The standard procedure was they handed you a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And they said, here, eat this, don't eat this, and go do it.
It's very discouraging.
Yeah.
Almost setting you up for failure. So one of the things we're teaching the residents is how do you bring this up and how do you motivate your patients? You know, is it more just focusing on one or two things that a patient can change in that first meeting. And then when we see you back in 3 or 6 months, see how you've done, maybe add something more, find out what was difficult for you. Really make this part of the visit every single time you come in. A little bit of a focus on that each time to help a patient really learn and become comfortable with eating better.
Jennifer, what about the many flip-flops you see in dietary recommendations? You hear one day that margarine is bad, and nope, it's butter, or wine's good and then bad, and things keep switching around. How do you teach doctors to keep up with this once they get into this mode of thinking of diet as a way of treating their patients?
Right. I always go back to the basics, or I always encourage both my clients, physicians, nurses that I work with, go back to the basics. It's about moderating our intake, creating balance with all foods. So all foods can fit in the diet unless you have specific medical needs where you can't. There are certain foods you have to eliminate. Most of the time, all foods can fit in the diet. And so moderation is key. Even those foods that some will consider bad foods like cakes and cookies and candies, if we consume those less than 10% of our calories, those foods can fit into our diet. And so I encourage individuals to include a variety of foods in their diet, and that's a variety of fruits and vegetables, colors, shapes, and forms, and a variety of protein sources, vegetarian, chicken, beef, fish as well. And so if we stay within that premise of moderation, balance, and variety, those fads are still going to come and go, but we're going to be able to maintain nutrition throughout those fads.
Dr. Elrod, what do you see in some patients who suffer from high cholesterol and obesity? Maybe they've been put on statins, or maybe they're on some other form of medication, a high blood pressure medication. What do you typically see in them where diet can be beneficial?
Well, that's a great segue into talking with patients is, you know, if they come in and their cholesterol labs are high and we're talking about either having to add a medication or increase their medication, that's a great segue into talking about adding more fiber-rich foods like fruits and vegetables and whole grains and the benefit that that's going to have not only on their cholesterol, but their overall health. So it's a great motivation for patients to say, look, we can either make some dietary changes or we're going to have to increase the medicine. So really is a good
motivator. And medication could be an expensive pathway to go down.
And with lots of potential side effects and risk. And when you add a medication, you're treating that one disease. You're not treating other things typically. So if they make a lifestyle change and a diet change, they're benefiting all sorts of parts of their body and all potential diseases.
So another example here, say you have high blood pressure. What are some easy changes that you can make in your diet that are beneficial?
So looking at your current fruit and vegetable intake and increasing the number of fruits and vegetables in your diet, typically the typical American usually consumes about 1.5 to 2 fruits and vegetables a day, moving towards 4 to 6 servings per day.
So we're definitely not getting enough fruits and veggies.
Right, exactly. Okay. Moving towards evaluating your the types of grains that you're consuming. If your grains are typically white, include more whole grains, the darker grains, the quinoas, the whole wheat pastas, the barley. Those will have beneficial impact on decreasing blood pressure. Also looking at the types of dairy sources that you're getting. Are you using low-fat dairy sources as well? These are all tenets of the DASH diet, and the DASH diet has been shown to be beneficial in lowering blood pressure.
Yeah, Dr. Alvarez, how time-consuming is it, though, for a doctor to work with a patient on lifestyle changes, on changing their diet versus just prescribing something?
Yeah, we do have very limited time, and in that time we're expected to go over multiple issues, and then to add diet and lifestyle discussion to that can be stressful, and it can take time. I think the important thing is teaching the residents that just little bits of information, being leaders, patients look up to us as being a role model. They want to mimic what we're doing. And so if they see that we're following those healthy lifestyle changes, they're going to be more motivated. So just adding a little bit of information each visit. And we're lucky in that we get to see patients usually 3, maybe 4 times a year. So we have that contact repetitively. So we can just add little bits of information each time.
So spaghetti tonight?
Yes.
Okay. What are some of the other things you're teaching the doctors how to cook?
In terms of this evening or upcoming?
Just across the board.
Across the board. So we will be looking at how a gluten-free diet is beneficial for individuals with celiac disease. How does that fit in for gluten sensitivity? How to cook for children. We were just talking before the show about one of the challenges for families is when children have more picky type behaviors or selective behaviors as food behaviors, as
I call
them.
Plus, you're busy as a family, too.
Yes,
sometimes it's
right.
easier just to pick up fast food than it is to cook a good meal.
Right. So how do we prepare meals that are inviting for the entire family that everyone can engage in as well? So I'm really looking forward to that class.
One of the things we love about that is ways for parents to hide, cauliflower in the mac and cheese
right.
or black beans in the brownies. And we cook those and right. let the residents in taste them, and they're delicious. And I think that way they can go ahead and teach their patients, look, you can hide stuff in there.
Right.
Dr. Elrod, thank you so much. And Jennifer, thank you so much, too.
Thank you.
Dr. Josephine Elrod of Grandview Medical Center and University of Dayton, Director of the Didactic Program in Dietetics, Jennifer Dalton.